This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia, a radio.com station. And now, live from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios. This is Style with Stevola. Style with Stevola Sanchez, Philly's superstar of design and the self-proclaimed creator of tomorrow's unique style. Style with Stevola and his friends from around the fashion globe. And now, one of Philadelphia's most iconic providers of everything style. Stevola Sanchez.
Hello, hola, ciao, annyeonghaseyo. Welcome to Style with Stevola. I am your host, Stevola. Thank you for allowing me to entertain you for the next hour on WPHT 1210 AM. Today, we have a great show in store for you. But before we get into that, I just want to spread some love. I hope everyone out there is staying safe and healthy during this time. Please, please, please stay safe. So for my very, very special guest today, she is one of my very best friends, and it's on theme for my Style with Stevola BFF edition. This is part two, because National Best Friends Day is on June 8th, so celebrate with your best friend. This woman is a huge inspiration to me. She's a ride-or-die best friend, always has been, always will be. She's powerful, she's strong, loving, inspiring, honest. And if I were straight, I would probably marry this woman. She's been through a lot in her life, but has always persevered. I mean, she's incredible. She even walked me down the aisle on my wedding day. She's had an amazing career in the hospitality industry. She is now the director of food and beverage at the Fairmount Hotel and Bungalows in famous Santa Monica. My BFF, Linda Fusco. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you. Don't make me cry before we start. My goodness, what an intro. I appreciate you.
it was all true, 1,000%. How are you doing?
I'm great because I'm talking to you. I miss you so much. LA misses you. Aww. We want you back.
Thank you. I mean, I do love LA and I do miss LA, but I have to say I think I'm a Philadelphian currently. I mean, I am. I love it here.
You've got to come visit. You drank the Kool-Aid. We lost you. It's okay.
But I'll be back to visit, I promise, when all this craziness, scariness and craziness is over. So just give a little background of yourself so the listeners get to know you.
Sure. Well, I'm from the East Coast originally. I'm from Long Island, New York. And I started in hospitality as an underage bartender. I started bartending before I was 21 and fell in love with the business. I like to joke that I was throwing parties at the age of 13 and charging my friends to come in, and it's absolutely true. So that's where I got the hospitality bug, and it's just sort of grown since then. So I've worked in every position in the business, and I've truly worked my way up, and I've been in the business now in hospitality since 1988. So however many years that is, very long time.
Fell into it just naturally. Like it was your bartending and you just loved it.
Yep, exactly. So I bartended through college in San Francisco, and then I was offered a management job in Los Angeles while I was still trying to pursue a theater directing career. So I took that job, and I kept getting all these great hospitality offers and kept saying yes. But in the back of my mind, it wasn't quite a career yet for myself. And then finally one day I was like, all right, this might actually be your career. So, jump to today, where now all I do is live, breathe, and eat hospitality and food and beverage and all the fun things in life.
I have a quick question, though, to backtrack for a second. So what were you actually going to college for?
My degree is in communications, if that tells you anything. So.
Oh, well, yeah. So completely, that's part of what you're doing, so it's perfect.
It is. It kind of plays into it. But my focus was theater directing. And so I did a bunch of theater in San Francisco And then I just, you know, I grew up and I realized that there's no money in that field and I couldn't survive. My tastes were way too fancy. I was already like, you know, wanting to go to 5-star restaurants at the age of 23. So that wasn't going to work for me. So I figured out how to be an adult and how to make a real living. And thankfully I love what I do. So the two go hand in hand.
I love it. I love it. I mean, and just knowing you for so many years and, you know, all that you've done, I mean, you've actually, now that I think about it, and you said with the theater aspect, I mean, when you were like, you were running these clubs certain nights a week in West Hollywood, and you actually had not just, it wasn't just a bar scene and bartenders, it was entertainment. I mean, people would go there to be entertained. It was almost like before burlesque bars started getting trendy. Right?
Yeah, I like to think that I started a trend, but I can't take all the credit. Other people inspired me to do it. So, yeah, and no, honestly, the two played hand in hand together. And my great theater background really did help to play into providing more than just a great night out for people as far as like drinking and dancing and eating, but creating this sort of fantasy space for them. So, yeah, for a long time, it was all about what's the story I could tell when somebody walks in the door and not, you know, what's the menu I'm going to provide to them.
Right, right, right. And you definitely, I mean, it was definitely a fantasy for sure. It was so much fun. I mean, all those places that you, all those nights that you threw, they were, I couldn't wait for the next week because it was, I knew it was just going to be something more fun.
They were fun. The nightlife scene definitely is exhausting though. So. I outgrew that. Now I'm just involved in hotels.
Right, which is wonderful. I mean, this is an amazing opportunity. I mean, or your career was, you're the director at the Fairmont. I mean, that's a big deal.
It's, you know, I'm very fortunate. I've had really great mentors in my life that have been there for me whenever I've been ready to make another step in my career, because everything I've done is very similar to the last thing. But they're all the hats that I've worn in my professional career have been a little bit different and not so cookie cutter. So to go from being a bartender to a bar manager to a nightclub promoter to an event producer back to a hotel manager, it's not easy to make those transitions. And I'm just so fortunate that I've had great mentors in my life that work in the business who understand what I do and who have called upon me to say, okay, we need somebody with your vision who is more of an entrepreneur to come work with us. So I'm thankful for that.
Yes. And that was a great fit because, I mean, you ran the show.
I did for a while. Now I'm part of a team, which I have to say, I love being part of a team. It takes a lot of pressure off of me. But there's, you know, there's a whole new pressure now with this new world that we're living in. And there's such an unknown still, as far as my industry, as to what's the next new normal, you know,
right,
we're still
right,
trying to
exactly.
figure out what that looks like.
Right. So I want to ask you this question. I'm going to give you a minute to think about it, but we have to go to a break. But you're such a social person. I mean, you know, and I'm not meaning going out every single night or anything like that, but just, you know, being with friends and hanging out. And, you know, I just want you to think about how, you know, that kind of has how your life has changed now, you know, and I want you to share that with me and the listeners so we can kind of get more of an understanding of what that looks like. But we will hear Linda's response after we get back from the break.
Now back to Style with Stevola.
Welcome back. You're listening to WPHT 1210 AM Style with Stevola. I am here with Linda Fusco, the director of food and beverage at the Fairmont Hotel and Bungalows in beautiful Santa Monica. If you're just tuning in, we were just, you know, just chatting about, you know, Linda and her background and, you know, how she's always been in hospitality is, you know, most of her career and how she's had an incredible career. And, you know, and her being, you know, in this industry and being a very social person, you know, I asked her like how her life has changed with the pandemic. So did you give it some thought? What do you think? What can you share with us, Linda?
I did, you know, and being in California is a little bit different than being in some of the cities, you know, outside of New York and San Francisco and California. You know, we're all so isolated still and cautious and careful that there are two things that I fear. So one, socially for me, my whole life is living around other people. That's why I got into the business. I probably run across 200 to 700 people a day in my daily activities, with how busy our hotel is and our restaurants are, and the fact that when I wrap up at work, I go out and I go to somebody else's restaurant, and I see my friends that are in the industry, and I'm just constantly around people. So what's changed for me is there's a hesitancy now to feel comfortable going out, because we all just don't know if we're being careful enough. I've been tested twice for COVID. Both times came back negative.
Oh, so you have been tested. Wow. Okay.
I have.
That's good.
California, well, Los Angeles in particular, is providing free testing for anyone that wants to take a test. So they're trying to collect data, and they're trying to see what the status is of everybody living in this county. So they're encouraging people to get tested. And even with knowing that I'm negative and that I'm being careful, I'm wearing a mask and I wear gloves and I wash my hands and I'm doing all these things and I'm staying 6 feet away from people when I am at work, there's still this fear of getting too close to people or walking into a store. Like, I'm still having my groceries delivered. So yeah, I'm not comfortable yet. And so I can imagine most people have that fear. Like, they're restless. They want to go out. They miss things, but they're not sure what's safe.
Right. So, I mean, and it's crazy, because I have to get used to the fact, like, I haven't seen a lot of people in a while that, you know, I'm friends with here in Philadelphia. And when I'm walking down the street or walking my dog, I mean, I'm safe. I have my gloves, I have my mask. But then I see somebody and I'm such a hugger, you know, and I just immediately mm-hmm. want to go up to them and be like, oh my God. But it's like, you can't, you have to stop yourself. It's really the new normal. Like, you just can't do that anymore. I mean, you can't even shake somebody's hand. Do you know what I mean?
I miss hugging.
It's so different. Like, what's that?
We talk about things that have changed. I miss hugging, because, like you, we hug everybody.
And, yeah.
I miss that touch.
Same. Yeah. It's so true. So and now you actually have been working as well through the pandemic, correct?
I have. I'm part of a small team of people that have been kept on. It takes quite the effort to close a hotel down, change the way things are running inside the hotel, so that when you reopen, it's even safer for your guests. So there are a ton of mandates that we're following. And, you know, hotels and restaurants in general were always very clean and strict with their cleaning and sanitation protocol. So that aspect hasn't changed as much, but things such as figuring out where to put social distancing stickers around the hotel so it looks okay, putting up shields in front of host stands and concierge stands, rearranging the floor plans so that there's more space between tables, because, you know, restaurants, they try to jam in as many tables as possible. It's all about serving as many guests as you can serve in one night. And now it's all about reducing occupancy to as low as 25%, perhaps. And so a lot of places are trying to figure out, like, can they even open at a 25% occupancy? And so, I've been working. I've been coming to work. Until recently, I haven't been around a lot of people at the hotel. I come in, I'm kind of by myself. I do my own thing, and then I see the executive team twice a day via Zoom calls. But now that we're getting closer to hopefully opening, we're seeing more vendors come through, and people are coming through to fix things. And there's much more activity happening in the hotel. And it took a second to get used to that. Because, you know, everyone, like I said, we're all kind of nervous right now. So we're just trying to figure out how can you move through this new world and be comfortable and feel secure. And so I think at a certain point, we just have to feel, you know, we have to feel safe and trusting in the process. We know that, you know, clean standards help everyone to stay safer. So as long as we know that we're doing those things, we have to just start to feel that we can trust that.
Yeah. So when is the hotel planning on opening?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm not sure. Mayor Garcetti just, I think right now, is making an announcement about hotels and restaurants. And we just found out that San Francisco changed the status of hotels, where hotels are now considered a phase 4 opening, and they're currently in phase 2.
Wow.
We thought hotels were in phase 3. So for LA County, we're hoping it still stays phase 3, which would kick in right around July 4th weekend. But if LA follows San Francisco, we would have to push our opening as well. So I don't know.
Now, just for the listeners, and also for myself, sorry to interrupt you, but I just wanted to find out, when you talk phases, I'm assuming phase one is the essential, correct?
Phase one was stay at home. And only allowing essential workers to do business so that you keep hospital beds more available. That was stage one. Stage two had kind of two stages. The early parts of stage two, the first phase, was allowing for curbside pickup from some stores and allowing certain services to reopen, such as dog grooming, postal services, things that didn't require a lot of people being together, things that were like a one-on-one transaction. That was the first part of stage two. The second part of stage two opening was allowing more beaches to open, more parks to open, allowing restaurants to offer grab and go from their establishment, not just curbside pickup, where you can actually walk in and grab something to go. So that's the stage that we're in right now in Los Angeles County. And then stage three, we were told phase three, that's where hotels that have just travel and leisure guests, not just essential workers as guests, that hotels could reopen and dining inside of a restaurant could begin again at a reduced capacity. So that was stage three. And we thought we've been told stage three should sort of kick in the first week of July.
Right.
But now we don't know. I'm going to have to, after you and I hang up, I'm going to have to listen to that press conference and see what Garcetti says, because I think that a decision is being announced today for us.
Wow. So, I mean, I'm assuming you guys are prepping, and what preparations are you guys doing? Because it is like the new normal. So what has changed in the hotel industry that, you know, what are you guys doing in your hotel to be different from when you were before?
We're pretty much doing what most hotels in Santa Monica are doing, which is the following. When you walk into a hotel, you would expect that your temperature would be taken by a thermal scanner. So you might not see it, but it's just being taken. Guests would be encouraged not to come in if they have a temperature. So we have to put on additional nurses and security at all entrances. You know, in a hotel, you would never put sanitizing stations all over the hotel. They just look ugly. And we have one every 20 feet. So they're all over the place.
They're not a pretty accessory, but when they're necessary, I guess they're necessary.
And then we have, you know, things like mini bars in rooms have been taken out. So I've had to take the mini bar out of 300 hotel rooms and put it back into inventory because there are more surfaces that are being touched by unknown people. So anything that's extra in a room is being removed. Extra towels are coming out. Coffee pots are being removed from most hotel rooms. We're leaving our coffee pots in, but some hotels are taking the coffee pots out. Paper menus are all being removed. Magazines are coming out. Throw pillows. Just like anything that's extra that somebody can touch and that can be contaminated is being removed from the room. And whatever can be done to create a more touchless experience is being incorporated. So like keyless entry for your hotel room where you can use your phone to enter the hotel room. So that's something that we've set up through Intellity, that where you check in on your phone, you use that to check into your room. Some places are putting Alexa machines in rooms so that if you ask Alexa to turn the lights on or off, it will, so you don't have to touch light switches. So that people are doing that. Obviously, colleagues, people who work at the hotel are all asked to wear gloves and masks, gloves for specific tasks, and then guests are encouraged to wear masks, but it won't be mandated at this hotel. Some hotels will mandate it. And then social distancing, where we have signs like little decals set up all around every outlet around the pool, at the entrances, so that people know where to stand in line from somebody else in front of them.
Right, right. Well, you brought up a good point, but I want to continue this conversation, but we got to take a break. So just hold that thought and we'll be back Thanks for listening, and we will be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. Hello, we're back with Linda Fusco, my BFF, and the woman that walked me down the aisle, the director of food and beverage of the Fairmont Hotel and Bungalows in beautiful Santa Monica. We were just talking about what the Fairmont Hotel is doing for their guests when they do open, when they're allowed to open. For, you know, the future and, you know, what we're calling now the new normal, which I think is pretty spectacular, like all the measures that the hotel's taking. So you did say something, it just kind of rang a bell. I mean, what the hotel itself, it sounds like they're really, really taking charge, which is just a huge sigh of relief. But I have just questions about like the social aspects, like once they get into the room, like, you know, grabbing a cocktail or ordering room service or going into the restaurant, or even what if they want to take a swim in the pool? Like, how is all that going to work? Because everyone, if like me, when I go, you kind of take that for granted. You just assume, oh, I'm just going to go jump in the pool because I need to, you know, do a few laps or whatever, or just hang out in the hot tub.
Right.
How's that working?
So currently, to answer your question, currently in some parts of California, and this is different state to state, pools are considered high risk and are not available. So you may be staying in a wonderful hotel just to use their pool, but you should probably call in advance to make sure that their pool is open for service. Ours will be. Because we're not opening the hotel until July, we feel strongly that by that point that we'll be able to allow guests to use the pool.
Right.
But some places you can't, and so it's definitely worth calling to find out first.
For things like
cocktails to go, things like that. I think people have been pretty creative about how to get drinks in your hand. So they really have.
Yeah,
I mean, that's where they make all their money.
So, right. Exactly. so they'll figure out how to get a drink.
California allows all restaurants now I think New York as well. They allow restaurants to pre-batch drinks and allow guests to order off of their wine list for grab and go, which wasn't allowed before. Before you had to consume alcohol on premise. Now off premise is pretty much tolerated everywhere. So the good thing is that most places will have, if you don't feel comfortable hanging out in the lobby for a drink, like if you want to be more private,
mm-hmm.
Most places now have pre-batch cocktails. So it's ready to go. You can say, oh, I want a Cosmo, and they'll hand you a cute little container with a Cosmo drink in it and your glass of ice on the side. So you just take it with you. So it just depends on what you're in the mood for. But from what I've seen other places do, everyone's being really creative with getting fun drinks in your hand. So don't worry about that part. That'll
right.
happen.
I love that. I mean, they're being pretty lenient and wonderful here in Philadelphia because the alcohol industry, at least hard alcohol, is pretty much run by the state. But they're allowing like restaurants. I'm not sure if they can sell hard liquor yet, but they're allowing like where, you know, if they have, you know, beer or wine on the menu that you could actually take it with you and, you know, and bring it home and enjoy your meal, whatever you order, with a bottle of wine or a couple beers, which I think was great.
Mm-hmm. I think like everybody else, my tolerance definitely went up during quarantine.
What's that?
Like everybody else, my tolerance went up during quarantine. Definitely consuming way more wine now than I used to.
Yes, mine did too. I had to like stop myself for a bit. I was like, okay, I'm taking a break. I was like, I mean, a glass a day, it doesn't hurt, but it wasn't just a glass a day for like a week straight. And I was like, okay, let me take a little break right now. And I was putting on weight because, you know, I'm staying at home. So you have a meal, you have some wine, it's a lot of calories, and then your clothes start getting tight.
No one likes that.
So you think, in your opinion, you know, like hotel bed linens, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm already like a pretty crazy germaphobe. So I was just thinking like bringing bed linens and pillows. Like, I mean, I just want you to make people feel at ease. And I'm also asking selfishly because I feel at ease.
Because in my industry, I do travel a ton. Don't forget the machines that hotels use to clean linen in. They run at such a high temperature that it kills any sort of infection or a bug or anything on that linen. It all gets it gets cleaned at a high temperature, but probably three times higher than what you have at home. So that's why I would feel comfortable with. It depends on the hotel that you're staying in, of course. But if you're staying in a nice hotel and you've been there before and you trust them, then they should have a fantastic protocol behind how they clean their linen. I would feel okay about that aspect. What would make me more nervous is touch points. So, you know, bring Clorox wipes with you, and it doesn't hurt before you get comfortable in the room. Wipe down the surfaces and the remote control and the TV and the telephone. Those are the places that will hold on to germs and bugs the longest anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's important. And then, so gyms, are they going to be open? Or are they going to be closed? Are they going to be monitored? How's that? That's another thing that I love to do is when I'm traveling, work out.
I know, you love to work out.
If you're on a time change, you really wake up and it helps you with your energy level.
What I feel bad about with gyms, with at least in the hotel world, is that you have guests staying with you. They're paying a great rate, and now they most likely will have to make a reservation for the gym and or be strategic about when they go work out, because half of the machines will be removed. So if you think about that, how often you go to a hotel gym and it's busy and you're like, oh, I'm getting on the last machine that's available. Well, imagine that now with half the equipment.
Right.
They're trying to provide space. So a lot of gyms are looking into a reservation system where you have to make a reservation for a workout, and you get 90 minutes, let's say, for the entire time that you're there. So that includes warming up, using the facilities, and showering afterwards. So a lot of places are going that direction to start. And these will all, don't forget, this is all short term. This will all change once there's a vaccine available. So we're talking about 6 months to a year that we're having to make these concessions.
Right. But I think it's just really important because, you know, people, you know, who are going back to work soon, and they do have to, you know, they do travel a lot for their industry. You know, I travel a lot. So I think it's like really helpful just to put all of our minds at ease. And it's super helpful, like knowing that, you know, these hotels are taking these things so seriously. I really respect that.
Yeah. Well, but, I have to tell you, I wouldn't be coming to work every day if I felt unsafe.
Right,
you know, and
right,
I think,
which means
and I think
a lot.
Everyone should feel good about that. Most people that work in my industry that are still working, they're going to work because they feel safe, and they believe that the changes that they're taking the time to implement right now will make the guests more safe as well. So just like remember that when you go out, that there are people, and I'm just going to share this because I know you know, but your listeners don't know. There are people like me who are currently compromised. I'm in the middle of breast cancer treatment, and I am completely comfortable coming to my hotel on a daily basis working. So just know that you might not see that when you look at people, that you might not see that they're sick or compromised, but if they are living their life in a healthy, sanitized way, then most likely we're all going to be okay. We just need to be careful, and we need to be respectful of everyone that we come across.
Right. Well, that's also brings me to a very important point that I try to state in every show, is that, you know, these masks, you know, people don't think that they're that important. You know what I mean? And I want to stress, you know, you never know who you're going to walk by. You know what I mean? You never know what's going on in their personal life. Like, you know, someone like you who's compromised, or somebody who does have health issues, but you don't see it because they're physically, they physically look fine, you know? And when you're not wearing those masks, and if you are a carrier, that you could really infect these people. And so I think it's so, so, so incredibly important for people to respect that, respect themselves, but respect others also. So when you wear that mask, you show respect. And I think that's 100%. So important, because there's so many people out there that are still not wearing masks, and I don't understand why.
It's not comfortable. It doesn't look good on. I get all the reasons why. I get that when you're outside and you're jogging and you're running, it's hard to breathe. I get that. But everyone has to make concessions right now just to be polite and to really protect the people that they're unaware of who they pass every day who could be compromised. And some people don't know they're compromised. That's the other part, is that, you know, when you hear these stories about the 18-year-old, the 40-year-old, the 55-year-old who died, it's because they have some underlying condition they didn't know about until they got sick, and then their heart stopped and they died. So it's, you know, it's really important just to realize that it's not a way of controlling somebody. It's a way of protecting somebody else.
Absolutely. And I mean, if 100,000, over 100,000 people, you know, gone doesn't mean anything to people. I mean, there's a problem here, you know, I mean, it's not a laughing matter. It's so important. So scary. So scary.
And there's so many cute options now for masks. I mean, have you put one out yet? You should make masks.
Well, I started, but so many people just started making them. But I am coming up with some really fun ones that I feel like, you know, because I just love to put, you know, everybody's got a smile, you know, when you're like, because we're going through this craziness and you can easily go into like a dark hole. But, you know, so I'm making some really like fun ones, and I'll post some of the designs on my
fun
Instagram. So, yeah, if you don't follow me, please follow me on Style with Stevola, and you can check out my masks. So Linda, where do they find you and the hotel? Just quickly, we can plug that before we go to a break, because I think it's important.
Oh, sure, of course. So they can find me, Linda Fusco LA. That's my Instagram handle. And the hotel has a couple of different handles, but the Fairmont Miramar is the main one for the hotel itself.
Perfect. Okay.
So Instagram is pretty much how we do all of our advertising.
Excellent. And then, you know, obviously, if anybody, you know, please follow Linda, and I'm sure she's happy to answer any additional questions if you have anything, if you are, you know, going to travel or you have to travel for work. But please reach out, because, you know, I'm sure she'll be happy to help, right?
Happy to help.
Yep. Okay, so we have to go to a break, but we still have so much more to talk about. So stay tuned, and we'll be back. Welcome back. If you are just tuning in, you missed so much. But not to worry. Go to radio. Go to radio.com or download the app radio.com and search Style with Stevola. And you can listen to this show and all of our other past shows. So check it out. We have some really, really great shows that we had done in the past. But without further ado, it is our last segment, and I'm here with one of my best friends, Linda Fusco, who has an amazing career in the hospitality industry. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you.
We were just talking about, you know, just the hotels and the public, and you just tapped into something that I just wanted to. We don't have to harp on it, but I know, you know, it's something that also, you know, in my opening segment, that just how you inspire me, and you just always persevere, and, you know, you don't let anything set you back, that, you know, during all of this, that you are dealing with breast cancer, you had mentioned. I just want to talk a little bit more about that, just, you know, and just how you are dealing with it, your experience in the hospitals, and just your attitude about it, because it's a scary thing, and you've been through a lot.
Well, you know, the word cancer is scary, but once you get past that word, because we've all been sort of trained to be scared of that word, once you get past that, it's not as scary anymore. So I was very fortunate. I discovered my cancer very early on. I'm stage 2 breast cancer, and I have an amazing medical team, and I have good insurance, and so I don't have the same stress that other people might have when dealing with an illness. And I have a very supportive group of friends and family and work that have all been very supportive of me. So I feel very fortunate with how this has presented itself in my life and how, you know, how I've been able to deal with it, because I am so fortunate. There are so many other things could have gone wrong. So for me, It as soon as I found out, it was like, all right, well, let's take care of this. And I, that's kind of my personality anyway. You know that. I'm all about, let's get the job done. So I didn't really let myself get bogged down or upset about it. I mean, of course, I had a moment where I cried and my mom cried and everybody got sad, but you get over that and you like, and then you realize, okay, it's time to fight and it's time to take care of this. So I did it. I personally spent a lot of time in the beginning doing a lot of research about breast cancer just because I didn't really know anything about it. I'm in my 40s. I'm considered young. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know very much about it. So I spent a lot of time researching and I learned a lot that I've since shared with my girlfriends, like, these are things that you look out for that no one ever talks about. So I pretty much spent my time learning more about the disease and learning how to live a healthy life through the treatment. And I learned that you have to laugh a lot and you have to keep fun people around you. Because it's an old saying that everyone says, you know, you really, it's better to laugh than cry in life, and stress isn't good for you. But that's all true things. So if anyone's going through something like this, just they have to be really careful about who they surround themselves with. You know, surround yourself with love and laughter, because at the end of the day, that's the best medicine.
Right. I agree 100%. We all have to like keep laughing and keep smiling and, you know, and another thing that, you know, that you do is you stay positive. You always look at the positive side of things, which I think is so great because, you know, you can really easily go down in a dark path, you know, and
yeah,
I find that so admirable.
You have to look at your blessings. You just have to look at your blessings. Like I said, I could be somebody who's dealing with this without insurance. You know, I could maybe not have a job right now. I was able to work through most of my treatment, and the time I did take off, I was covered by vacation days and sick days and you know, the generosity of my company that paid me while I was gone. So I'm very fortunate, and I don't take that for granted, and I look at my blessings every day.
Right.
And I thank God for them. Yep.
And I love that you're still working, and, you know, and I just want to share with the listeners, you know, there's many lessons in this conversation, but the lesson is that I feel that is kind of standout is, you know, that we are strong, you know, we can beat this among many other things, you know, and here you are clearly. Nothing's going to stop you. And I find that like so powerful, you know, and I hope everybody takes that in.
Humans together, we get through so much that we never would think that we can get through. And the way communities come together to help each other, it's inspiring. So absolutely we can. We're all strong. We're all stronger than we realize.
Exactly. And then, so do you have any advice for the listeners? I mean, anything about all that we've talked about?
You know, I just think that in life in general, you have to look at what there is to celebrate every day. And I've always lived my life that way. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring. You have to be thankful for what you have today.
Right.
And that's all. That's my advice in life in general.
I love that. I think that's great. It's so important. I agree with you 1,000%.
Surround yourself now, with good people like Steve.
thank you. Well, oh my gosh, you're incredible. You're amazing. And you always inspire me. I mean, since I first met you long ago, it's been a long time, but you know, you were just inspiring to me then, and you're even more inspiring to me now. And really, I mean, I love you so much. You're such a good person and a good friend.
I love you, Bella.
Oh, thank you. But I just feel like there's so much more to talk about, but the interview is coming to an end. But I really, you know, Linda, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to just, you know, to be with us and share.
It's really my pleasure.
You know,
thank you.
Yeah. Share with us like what you're, you know, what you're doing in your personal life, what you're going through in your personal life, but also in your work life and, you know, and how, yeah, just how everything is going and how you just keep moving forward. I think I just want the listeners, I can't say it enough to like for them to hear this, that, you know, that it's truly like we can get through anything. We just have to stick together.
100%.
So thank you again so much, Linda. And thanks everyone for listening. You're listening to Style with Stevola. I'm the host, Stevola. And please, everyone, respect one another. Take care of yourself and each other. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Style with Stevola, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.